You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 19th, 2020, we are going to see all states, partially reopened by Memorial Day weekend. That's what we're told. By now, all states, except for Connecticut, have in some way begun loosening their structures or restrictions. Massachusetts entering its first phase of reopening yesterday. Connecticut says it will do that on Wednesday. 17 states so far have shown a clear upward trend of average new daily cases, a rise of about 10%. Now, does that mean because of the opening? Does it mean they're just now being found by new testing? That's not clear. But we obviously still need to use caution and common sense, which I know this audience has. I'm preaching to the choir here, right? President Trump, as you know, the other day suspended U.S. funding to the WHO, saying that the WHO played a key role in mismanaging and covering up the Chinese virus because it came from China. And now he's delivering a blunt ultimatum to the World Health Organization, saying if you don't make substantive improvements within the next 30 days, we will permanently cut off the funding. We are the biggest funder, no kidding, to the World Health Organization. So they better get their act in order. President Trump, of course, shocking so many of the liberals when he announced yesterday, I'm taking hydroxychloroquine. I asked the White House physician if I could have it. He said, well, I don't think it'll hurt you, so yeah, we'll go ahead and do it if you want it. And of course, he monitors the president and his health. Hydroxychloroquine, sometimes, according to various stories and even studies, can be helpful. Other times, no discernible difference. Other times, if taken improperly and you got some real bad conditions for your heart, it might lead to your death. It doesn't kill you, but it might cause a heart attack or a stroke of some type. However, the leftist is out there saying that Trump is doing this and he's encouraging everybody, and hydroxychloroquine will kill you. Numerous doctors say, no, that's not true. Many say that. And there was a study the other day, some weeks ago now, for the Veterans Affair, that the Veterans Affairs Secretary suddenly had to step forward and call it out. This came back in April 30. The study indicated that a look at VA patients who had been given hydroxy for COVID-19, many of them had died. Well, the study was not really properly done. It was a small sample, and on top of that, two of the, quote, doctors were ophthalmologists. Not saying they don't know what they're talking about, but I don't think they know COVID-19 and epidemiology. So the VA secretary had to defend the use of it. Claims the study, as it was put out, was a lot of misinformation. In the meantime, the Department of Health and Human Services announcing a $354 million four-year contract with a Virginia-based company to expand pharmaceutical manufacturing in the U.S. to make coronavirus drugs in the U.S. Good news. You've got the leftists out there saying, President Trump, you need to open the southern borders. Open them to migrants who are seeking asylum, even if they're coming in with coronavirus. Let them in. That's the cry from the left. Let them in, even if they have COVID-19. I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor as soon as the elite in Hollywood say, we will house them in our homes. When they do that, I'll say, sure, bring them in. Put them right into the Hollywood actors' homes. That ain't going to happen. And then we got a report that undocumented immigrants in California can now apply for that state's coronavirus relief program, up to $500 per person, $1,000 per household. Undocumented immigrants getting that money. Undocumented, translation, illegal. House Democrats telling the Supreme Court yesterday, we need access to secret grand jury materials because we're still investigating Trump in connection with Russia collusion, and we may want to impeach him again. We're going to get into some of that a little bit later. Michigan is saying all voters will be sent absentee ballot applications. I don't have a problem with that if it's just an application that they have to send back, then get the ballot. Don't send out ballots. Here's the proof that what you've been waiting for, things will be better now. Graceland, Elvis Presley's Graceland, ready to open the doors Thursday. They closed them back in March when the pandemic broke out. Nobody could go into Graceland. Now, it's going to be reopened. More hand sanitizing locations, they say, temperature checks and so forth. But you can go in and see Elvis Graceland. I knew you were waiting for that. I knew you were waiting for that. So now, tell them where you heard it, right here. Thank you.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Question for you. Do you know where you were January 5, 2017? Think about it. I mean, if I had you being interrogated and going to try to pin a crime on you, could you tell me your alibi for January 5, 2017? Where were you January 5, 2017? Now, I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you this. I know where President Obama was at the time, and Vice President Biden, and also I knew where at that time, who else do I know? Oh, National Security Advisor Susan Rice, I know where she was, and FBI Director Comey, who was FBI Director at that time, and the Deputy Attorney General at the time, Sally Yates. And I even know where CIA Director John Brennan and Director of National Intelligence James Clapper were. On January 5, 2017. I know all of that. How do I know? Well, because that's been documented in testimony behind closed doors. As the investigation was underway into the supposed Russian collusion story in Donald Trump's election. They were all in a meeting at the White House in the Oval Office. All of the ones I just named, Obama, Biden, Rice, Comey, Yates, Brennan, Clapper, and they all talked about the Flynn investigation. At some point, and that very same day, the White House staffer, Chief of Staff, McDonough, or Donahue, I don't remember his name now, it's mud as far as I'm concerned, but anyway, he decided to reach out and he wanted to unmask the Michael Flynn investigation. He wanted to know, he knew there were investigations underway, to a member of the Trump campaign. He wanted to know the name, and they told him it's Michael Flynn. That was the very day that Obama has this meeting. And at some point, as the others leave, Obama asked Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates and then FBI Director Comey to stay behind and saying, well, I learned about the investigation and the information about Flynn. So he knew. Susan Rice, who at the time was a national security advisor, as I say at the time, she has stated that when she left, she wrote a letter to herself detailing what took place in that meeting in her email. Well, what we want to know is what's in the email that maybe we don't know that wasn't brought up in testimony. And Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, is asking the Trump administration to declassify the entire email that Susan Rice sent herself just before her boss was about to leave office. Senator Johnson says we need to know exactly what was in that. Senator Johnson says this was all Obama, this was all Biden, these people were corrupt, the whole thing was corrupt, and we caught them. In other words, Obama and Biden involved in making sure Flynn was investigated, anything they could to damage the Trump administration. Now, January 5, 2017, this is just ahead of the inauguration. The election's over. Trump's already in office. But that didn't stop the coup from trying to throw him out. And Susan Rice admits she sent herself an email. Well, Senator Johnson says, we want to see that email. Now, keep in mind that Susan Rice, that meeting was January 5, 2017. Keep in mind, July 18, Susan Rice was on CNN, I take it back, ABC, with George Stephanopoulos. And she wants you to believe that we knew. Of course, now she's no longer the national security advisor. And she can say what she wants about what Trump and the Russians were supposedly doing by her own words. Although the same person, while under testimony, under oath, in front of members of Congress, said, I know nothing. I don't know anything about it. I never saw any evidence. But that's not what she said when she's talking about George Stephanopoulos on ABC July 18. Here's what she had to say about what Trump and Putin were doing together.
He's taken a series of steps that had Vladimir Putin dictated them, he couldn't have mirrored more effectively. What his motivations are, I think, is a legitimate question, one that I trust that the special counsel is investigating. But the policies that this president has pursued globally have served Vladimir Putin's interests in dividing the West, undermining democracy.
Does that mean you think it's an open question whether or not he's compromised by Russia?
George, I don't know what his motivations are. I think that's a legitimate question.
She didn't know anything. She's one of these just kind of put it out there and see if it flies. And George said, well, do you think it shows the motivation to help Russia? I mean, I don't know, but I told you enough that you figured out. It's their same old game, a little shadow boxing here and there and put everything, you play into three-card Monte with you. Hide the pea under the walnut, see if you can find it. That's what they were doing all this time. All of this, and yet she dares bring up the Mueller investigation. The Mueller investigation, we'll find out more on that. Oh, and Mueller came back, no evidence, none. And, of course, the left still said, well, that wasn't really an exoneration of Trump. That was an exoneration. And he didn't really say none. He said, didn't find anything, or words to that effect. And now that the closed-door testimony is being released, and we're seeing their own testimony under oath, where they were asked directly, Clapper, Brennan, Rice, the others, what did you know? Did you see any evidence at all linking Trump to Putin and Russia? No, I have no evidence. But they continued to spread the word during that time. And maybe they believed if we say it enough, the Mueller will go ahead and make sure he validates what we said. When they knew it wasn't, they knew it wasn't happening because they saw no evidence. But now we've got the Democrats once again looking for another effort to try to derail this administration now and into the 2020. House Democrats telling the Supreme Court yesterday, we need to see secret grand jury materials because we are still investigating Trump in connection with Russian collusion. We might want to impeach him again. My God, you talk about beating a dead horse to death over and over again. They want all of this grand jury material. They think that anything that's come out been redacted must hide relevant information. Now, of course, when they release something that has redacted, oh, no, we took out stuff that was critical to the U.S. security. But the Democrats complain that we didn't get everything. Well, you got enough. You got evidence that what you folks did in testimony, what you said, you had nothing. Let me take you back to the push now, right now, is that the GOP is also pushing. You got the Democrats saying, we want to get ready for another impeachment. Well, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, both Republicans, they want Christopher Wray to respond to their letter. That's FBI Director Christopher Wray. They sent a letter to him May 4th, said, we need information and interviews that you had with key FBI officials after everything's come out about Michael Flynn. We need to take a look at those, and we need to see them directly. And so far, Christopher Wray has not responded. The FBI director, in a letter written from two standing congressmen overseeing this, has not even bothered to respond. Well, then they decide, well, we'll just send letters directly to the agents we want to talk to. He said, so they then, therefore, wrote a letter to an FBI agent, Joe Pinca, who was participating in a July 24th, 2017 White House interview that led to Flynn's prosecution, and also to FBI agent Priestap, the former assistant director of the FBI Counterintelligence Division. He's the one who wrote the handwritten note, said, what are we supposed to do with this Flynn case? I mean, are we looking to get into lies so we can prosecute him or get him fired? Congressman Jordan says, we want to know. And where's Christopher Wray at this point? Congressman Jordan, ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, made this point some time ago. We've got things here unresolved, and we're not getting the support we should be getting from Wray and other members of the Judicial Department.
The FBI in 2016 spies on two American citizens associated with the Trump campaign. For one of those citizens, they go to the secret court, the FISA court. They take the now famous dossier, the dossier they knew was salacious and unverified, the dossier that they knew was not true. They use that as the basis to get the warrant to spy on one of these individuals. They don't tell the court that the dossier is Russian disinformation. They don't tell the court that it was paid for by the Clinton campaign. And they don't tell the court the guy who wrote it, Christopher Steele, had already told the Justice Department he was desperate to stop Trump. And now we learn they go after Mike Flynn and set him up just days into the new administration. What I want to know is, why didn't Bob Mueller tell us this? Remember, in May of 2017, when Bob Mueller's named special counsel, we were told this is the greatest guy who's ever come to Washington. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's the most honest guy since George Washington. Why didn't he tell us this? And maybe more importantly, where's Christopher Wray? Why didn't we learn any of this from him? Thank goodness for Sidney Powell and Bill Barr. We would have never got this information.
Sidney Powell, of course, is Flynn's attorney, the new attorney. And Barr, of course, the AG. And by the way, I want to remind you, the top DOJ prosecutor who had repeatedly told the court the FBI had complied and turned everything over, when in fact now we know they didn't, Brandon Van Grack, was abruptly pulled from the Flynn case. Just suddenly pulled because there was evidence he didn't turn over a thing as he was ordered to. And again, Congressman Jordan, FBI Director Wray, you've got some explaining to do.
Why didn't we learn this from Chris Wray? Chris Wray testified in front of the Judiciary Committee 2 months ago in February, and he told us with this whole FISA process, you can all sleep well at night. We got it all under control. Well, guess what? We just learned this information about General Flynn. And just as importantly, Mr. Horowitz told us just 4 weeks ago. He's looked at 29 FISA applications, random sample of 29 FISA applications where American citizens have been spied on, and he found that in every single one there were major problems. In four of those 29, they couldn't even find the Woods file, which is the underlying file they keep of the evidence that they then take to the FISA court. In four of those cases, they couldn't even find the Woods file, and the FBI director is telling us, oh, we can all sleep well at night. This, I mean, again, if they can do this to a three-star general, if they can do this to the president of the United States, imagine what they can do to you and me.
That's a big question. Just imagine what they could do to you if they chose. Anytime our Department of Justice, the FBI, CIA, are all weaponized as a political weapon, this is not the U.S. of A. anymore. This is closer to USSR. This is closer to North Korea. This is closer to Cuba. There's still a lot of questions. And I want to see some answers and resolution. Now, the other day, Attorney General Barr, even though Trump said, I think we should see criminal charges against Obama and Biden, A.G. Barr said, we're not going to push for criminal charges against those two, but we're looking at other criminal charges. I am perplexed by that, but right now we'll see how it plays out. The Democrats are still flailing in the wind. No evidence, speculation, lies, and innuendos. All right, we'll take a break. I want to go back again to President Trump admitting he's taking hydroxy. And how everybody suddenly went crazy. Please stand by.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I'll scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out. And you'd be surprised at how many people are taking it, especially the frontline workers, before you catch it. The frontline workers, many, many are taking it. I happen to be taking it.
That is President Trump yesterday saying, I'm taking hydroxy, and saying it's been good for me so far. Obviously, the White House physician knows he's taking it. He's taking it under the instructions and by a prescription from the White House physician. And when he started talking about it yesterday, the left came unglued again. He's trying to poison the entire nation. Everybody out there, you're relying on hydroxy, which is not the same as the aquarium cleaner that a couple took, one of them being duped by the spouse to kill, did not want the person to live. At least that's the allegation that's been surfacing. But hydroxy has, in some cases, proven effective. Some cases it hasn't. But if you watch Neil Cavuto yesterday on Fox Business Network, he was saying, this will kill you, this will kill you. And others have said the same thing. It will kill you. And others have said, it could kill you, it could save you. And in fact, Neil Cavuto had a doctor on contradicting his very thoughts when he said, Cavuto was telling him, I just had a doctor on, said, this is not good, this is dangerous, this could not, and the other doctor said, I'm on the front line, and I've been prescribing it, and it works sometimes it doesn't. If it's a last resort, you're on your deathbed, yeah, we're going to try it if you want it. And then Trump referred to a letter he got from a doctor.
I got a letter from a doctor the other day from Westchester, New York, around the area. He didn't want anything. He just said, sir, I have hundreds of patients, and I give them hydroxychloroquine, I give them the Z-Pak, which is zithromycin, and I give them zinc. And out of the hundreds of patients, many hundreds, over 300 patients, I haven't lost one. He said, please keep pressing that, sir.
That's one doctor, one letter. There are other doctors who've done the same. And I just stated for you that even Cavuto had a doctor on, told him, well, it's not necessarily bad. I'm on the front line. We've been using it. Cavuto was saying a number of studies show those vulnerable in the population have one thing to lose, their lives, and then referred to a VA study. That VA study had been called into question shortly after it came out, and I would have thought Cavuto would have had the research to know that. They were giving it to the most highly exposed and high at risk and vulnerable already. They had nothing else left. The VA secretary even admitted that. Said those were the ones who were getting it. And on top of that, the study was not really conducted by all doctors. It was a couple of ophthalmologists along with a researcher. So what did they know? I'm not saying the ophthalmologists aren't smart, but in this case, are they the experts for epidemiology? We're going to take a break in a moment. We're going to come back with Dr. Pham, Kevin Pham. We've had him on before. He is with the Heritage Foundation. Now, I don't know what his thought is on hydroxy or the president taking it. Normally, I like to know where a guest stands in some things. I don't know because we're going to learn together what Dr. Pham has to say. And does he side more with Cavuto or does he side with Trump that, you know, it might work for some. It's working for him right now. And if it's not going to harm you, maybe that's better than not having it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And we'll both learn what Dr. Pham recommends. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions. Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Glad to welcome back on board Dr. Kevin Pham of the Heritage Foundation. Glad to have you on board, Doctor.
Thanks so much for having me back.
You bet. Let me, I want to get into the COVID-19 and President Trump taking hydroxy in a moment. But before that, I note there's a report out from a biotech company named Moderna that says they apparently have shown a positive reaction, with some of their treatments for participants in a trial. What do you know about that? They are indicating they have positive data on early stage vaccine trial.
Right. So this was a vaccine candidate that's going through that just, I guess, completed its phase one clinical trials. And it's showing that people who receive the vaccine are showing high levels of antibody titers, which means that they have high circulating levels of the antibodies that are similar to those found of antibodies in people who have already recovered from the virus. So this suggests that the vaccines are working. Now, I do want to caution us because it's a phase one trial, which means that it was primarily meant to test safety of these vaccines, safety in healthy individuals. So we don't know if these titers are necessarily going to translate into real world efficacy moving forward. But it does show promise, and it does suggest that this thing may work, and there's a like high likelihood that it will work. This is still really early.
Are you thinking we're going to see a vaccine by the end of the year, at least even before fall?
Before fall seems very soon. Before the end of the year still seems really soon to me. I think early next year might be a good like if I were going to bet on it, if I were going to bet all the money that I had, I would say before the end of 2021, if I'm betting all my money,
whoa,
if I'm betting half my money before, let's say March, I'm pretty optimistic about this, but I don't think it's going to be that.
You're optimistic
soon.
You're optimistic that it's 2021. Well, now for those who say we need to keep the country locked down until we have a vaccine, how does that play?
Well, I think waiting for the vaccine to come out is going to be unrealistic because even if it's going as fast as the president wants it to go, we're looking at maybe fall at the very earliest. That's an unrealistic amount of time to be fully locked down. There won't be much of a country left to go return back to normal if we do that. So we do need to move forward cautiously. I don't think we have time to wait for a vaccine to come out.
I noticed you published a piece in the Daily Signal the other day saying we need to trust Americans to be careful. That, in other words, it's your personal responsibility.
Right. I think that's exactly the case. Most Americans started changing their behaviors, moving into the lockdowns before any of the governors said that they had to. So that shows to me that Americans are taking responsibility for their own health and safety, which should give us a lot of confidence moving forward to relax all these measures, because just because you can go to the restaurant doesn't mean that you will. Some people still are not going to do that, and I think that's their own personal decision. But what it does do if you relax these measures is it allows people who do run these restaurants to have some kind of working income. People who have assessed their own risk, you know, Americans are used to risk. Americans understand risk. And so people who assess their own risk and decide that it's going to be safe for them to go out, I think they should have the opportunity to. And those who don't think it's safe, they'll stay home. They will just naturally stay home.
So some of the states opening up, and by Memorial Day, I think all are going to have relaxed restrictions in every state will have relaxed some kind of restriction, maybe some not fully yet. But we're already seeing, according to some, in 17 states, a 10% increase in COVID cases. Now, is that because maybe they've opened up and folks got exposed at that point? Some of these we're talking about 3-4 weeks, you know, that they've been open, so it certainly would have a time frame for it. Or is it also just additional testing showing it?
I think it's a little combination of both. There has been a tremendous increase in the number of tests. So if you look at these states that are showing an increase in absolute number of cases, the rate of the positive rate in the testing is becoming smaller. So as more tests are occurring, there's a smaller and smaller percentage of people who are testing positive. But since there's so many tests happening, then the absolute number of positive cases is increasing. But I do think that being a little bit more relaxed is going to increase the spread a little bit more. But what I think with this increased testing, we're not seeing a rise in cases. We're seeing a better glimpse of the actual number of cases in the community.
What about those who say we can't go back if it's not for the vaccine? We can't go back till everybody's tested. To get everybody tested in the nation, and then would you have to start over again once you test them to make sure they didn't get it 3 days later?
Well, we're testing at a tremendous rate right now, but we're still testing far fewer than 330 million people a day. And I think that's not just unrealistic, that's frankly ludicrous to expect that we'd have to test the entire country every single day or even every week. Just how long would it take to test 330 million people? How long would it take to conduct a census of 330 million people? And
well, the folks who want to keep the nation, folks who want the nation closed down, they don't really care. They're glad to take it all the way to November, in particular November. So I want to turn the attention to President Trump announcing yesterday that he's taking hydroxy and said, I've been doing it for a couple of weeks, and immediately the left went berserk, even including on Fox Business Network, Neil Cavuto expressing shock, started shouting out, this drug can kill you, it can kill you. And they were referring to studies that have been debunked to some extent, a VA study, CDC has changed its guidelines, and others. First of all, what was your response when you heard the president announce that?
My response was he probably doesn't need to take it. So I was really optimistic about this at first. And I'm sort of developing a new understanding of it. I think that the effect of the hydroxychloroquine has more to do with some of its other effects rather than being a direct antiviral, because it has some antiviral effect. It's thought to have some antiviral effects, but it's not very strong. And so I don't think that the president is being very well protected by this. But that having been said, it's not a dangerous drug. We've been using it for a very long time. And people who are otherwise healthy should have no problem with it. And the president doesn't have necessarily healthy habits, but for some reason he has a lot of energy, which suggests to me that he actually is pretty robust, an individual. He can take it, it's fine.
Well, of course, he wouldn't
I don't
be.
Have a problem
and
with
he
it.
Says he's taking it under the doctor, and there's no one in the nation that's being more closely monitored health-wise than the president.
Right. The president of the United States is going to be looked after by, I mean, and also the COVID task force is surrounded by doctors, too. Like, there's no shortage of medical professionals around him. I don't think there's not a problem with him taking it. I just don't think it's necessarily beneficial at all.
Well, Dr. Fauci had even been on record at a time that, I don't know, maybe it helped, maybe not. I'm not, in other words, most I've seen from who are trying to be honest about it, it may work in some cases, it's individual, and so in some cases it won't be good for them. In other words, they're making it clear that it's a case-by-case consideration.
Right. There are hundreds of thousands of doses in New York City that's being used right now. I think that if there were some preliminary result that showed clearly one way or the other, I think we'd be seeing it right now. But from the docs who have been talking to in New York City, they've been saying that it seems to help in some cases. It seems to prevent some people from getting worse in some cases. But in other cases, it doesn't seem to have much of an effect at all. So it's really hard to say one way or the other.
Well, I'm looking at one of those doctors who appeared on Fox News with Cavuto, who's on the front line. Dr. Nizawat, I believe, is the pronunciation. I could be wrong. She says she's on the front line, has been for some time. And Cavuto was saying, well, you know, you wouldn't really prescribe it. Would you recommend it? She said, well, being on the front lines, I prescribed hydroxychloroquine to some of my patients. For some, it helped tremendously. Some of them, it didn't make much of a change. And he pressed that again. And again, she said, I have prescribed it to patients who are very ill. Some benefited, some did not. You had to look at them individually. But what I've been seeing from the left and others, because Trump has said this, everybody will be rushing out to try to get it. First of all, you have to have a script. And secondly, you should be doing it with a doctor's allowance and monitoring you.
Right. No one should be taking this drug without a doctor, because it's, you know, I say it's relatively harmless, but it's not a benign drug. There are no benign drugs.
Point. That's so a great point. There's no benign drug. Anything you take could have adverse reaction for you. Go ahead.
Exactly. And then it's also a very common thing that some drugs work for some people and other drugs don't work for other people. So the idea that if it's not showing an effect for everybody, that means it's a useless drug, that's completely overblown. It's very common that some drugs are more effective for some people. It depends on the case-by-case basis.
And they were referring in part to that VA study, which had been debunked shortly after it came out. It was a very small study. I want to say less than 300 patients. And there was a researcher, and a couple or three of the doctors were really ophthalmologists, so they don't really know epidemiology. And they had basically compiled that it was killing folks in the VA when they were giving it. But the VA secretary later came out and said, keep in mind, we were giving it to those with the highest risk, those who were basically on their deathbed. It was a last option possibility. So that obviously going to skew any numbers. Go ahead, sir.
Right. I was just going to say that that data is valuable data. I want more data in general. But, yeah, these studies have to be taken in the context in which they were conducted. If you're looking at mostly severely ill or critically ill patients and you're giving them drugs, almost no drug is going to look good in that circumstance, because the patients are already very close to dying. So it skews the entire conclusion against the drug, no matter what it is.
Question, do you see the backlash and the attacks being really medical or political?
It's unfortunately looking very political, because I really don't see any good reason for anybody to have such strong opinions about a drug that may or may not work. If it was positively shown to have a negative impact on people's health, and yes, I can see the controversy, but this is something that seems to work, seems to not work. There's no reason to have a strong opinion about it, because it doesn't have a strong effect one way or the other. So, yeah, it's completely politicized, which really needs not to be done, because, you know, this is a pandemic. There's a lot of uncertainty in the air. Right. We need as much clarity as possible, and adding the politics into it is just not helping.
You're absolutely right. Doctor, again, we're always glad to have you on board and appreciate your time today, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me back.
You bet. Dr. Kevin Pham with the Heritage Foundation. Exactly the point. Common sense. Common sense. It will work for some, won't work for some others. We'll take a break, and then Chris Cuomo continues to defend his lie. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In the last hour, we spent a lot of time about the story and the reaction to President Trump saying he's taken hydroxychloroquine. So if you missed it, it'll be up on our podcast here shortly at Larry Connors, USA Facebook. Larry Connors, USA Facebook. A comment coming on the Facebook about the president taking that and Gary saying maybe he has a death wish. Well, I don't think that. Obviously, I would thought maybe the left would be maybe excited if it might cause his death, but they're acting very concerned. And one of the ones we had on in the previous hour was Joe Scarborough, MSNBC, because he's telling you, even though the president sat there and said, I take a pill, pill and a half a day, I've got it under doctor prescription. Now, again, I don't know, that's Trump's word, and I didn't hear the doctor there backing him up, so did he lie, misstate? If he said it that way, it'd be a lie. It wouldn't be a misstatement. But I'm going to take him at his word, and everyone else did except Joe Scarborough. He's saying basically he knows Trump is not on hydroxychloroquine.
When the president of the United States actually says he's doing something, which let me assure you he is not doing. Let me assure you the president of the United States is not taking hydroxychloroquine. In all the time that I knew him, I only sat for one meal with him. And before that meal, he had wipes like this high. And would just go through the wipes compulsively and wipe his hands, sanitize his hands before eating anything. So he's not taking something that his own administration has said will kill you. That his own FDA said will kill you, that the VA said will kill you.
Scarborough is wrong on every one of those points. It can kill you if given improperly and mixed with drugs and you have other health conditions that might contribute to heart arrhythmia and other such things. And for him to sit there, I know he's not doing it. I know, he doesn't know. He does not know. He lies. And then he says, in all the years I've known him, I had dinner with him one time. Well, and then he what? He had napkins? That tells you what he's taking for possibility to ward off COVID-19? That doesn't tell you anything. Or maybe in the weak, feeble, shallow mind, misdirected, leftist mind of Scarborough, it does. You know, Governor Cuomo in New York, he issued that directive that basically became a death sentence for many in the nursing homes in New York State. He said, if you're a nursing home and someone shows up, even if they're COVID positive, you got to take them. Even if they came right out of the hospital with COVID-19, you got to take them in the nursing home. 25% of all deaths in the state of New York occurred in nursing homes, 5,000 plus. So he appears on CNN the other day, and he's being interviewed by his brother, Chris Cuomo. Do you think he asked him any tough questions about? No. They're not going to ask a tough question. Nothing but softball questions. At the same time, New York columnist Goodwin is writing, this nursing home disaster is on you, Governor Cuomo. National Review had a piece headlined, Andrew Cuomo's Reckless Choices. Some lawmakers are seeking a federal probe into that policy. But would you expect CNN to do a legitimate inquiry? Nope, especially not when it's brother Chris or any of the rest of them. And we know how solid and what a great journalist Chris Cuomo is. Remember when he had to quarantine himself in his home? I'm in my basement for 2 weeks. I've quarantined myself on coronavirus. I've been testing positive. And then, of course, remember the word came out that he was not in his home. On Easter Sunday, he actually was out with his wife and kids. He was still infected at that point. He had it March 31st and April 12th, Easter Sunday, 13 days later. He's with his family walking around a property he's looking to develop. He gets seen by a guy on a bicycle questioning, why are you out? And Cuomo goes ballistic. Later confirms, yeah, I had a run-in with that guy. But he doesn't mention that I ran into him away from my home. And April the 15th, 15 days later, Cuomo confirms, yeah, I was still sick. 17 days later, April 16th, his wife tests positive for the coronavirus, and his son had on the 23rd of April. But he insisted He was in house quarantine in his basement for 14 days, and then he came up the stairs, and of course the crew was there huffing and puffing, walk upstairs, but boy, am I glad. I'm glad to be up here with the family and see them all. And he's wearing a T-shirt that has the word truth on it, looking like he's been sweating in it. I mean, this guy is so fake. I'm telling you, the old-fashioned wrestling federation, wrestling, that wasn't as fake as what I'm getting from this guy. And yet he came out and insisted that he knows what he's doing, and he's taking care, and he maintained his quarantine. He did not. He violated his quarantine because he felt, I can go and do what I want. If he did, that'd be one thing. But to sit there and tell the public, I didn't. I've been in the basement for 2 weeks or more. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Boy, are they a collection. All those on the left, they are such a collection. Well, I tell you what, I have to thank them because they do help give me material for this program. Every day, it's a decision, what do I have to keep out? I don't have time to get everything in. I got to throw something out. So I want to thank all the leftists for all the material you give me. You are the soul of this program, and I thank you for it. And I know you'll continue. I know you will. So we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Be you left or on the right or in the middle. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.